Hi, I'm Jarrett Cummings. I'm a policy specialist with EDUCAUSE. And among other issues that I follow, technology accessibility for persons with disabilities is a major one. And last year, EDUCAUSE policy programmed this session with a panel of speakers to talk about technology accessibility. That panel included Dan Goldstein, outside counsel for the National Federation of the Blind. And for any of you who may have been able to see that session, one of the most interesting parts of the discussion was where Dan talked about how NFB viewed the agreement reached with Penn State around accessibility, improving the accessibility of Penn State's technology environment as a roadmap for higher education institutions generally. So based on that, we thought it was a good idea to ask John to come and give us an overview of how that plan is working at Penn State, what they've been able to achieve, and what they see ahead. So I want to provide that context for you because I think it's very important as you listen to these remarks. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Jarrett. First slide may have the effect on you of wanting to yawn. Implementing a university-wide, okay, sounds very, very boring. Accessibility is extremely interesting and important. And then you get to Penn State. I want to suggest to you that this is not at all about Penn State, although that's the only school I'm going to talk about because it's the one I know best. But it would be extremely easy to replace the words Penn State throughout this presentation with XX University, YY College, okay? So I would listen in that kind of generous spirit. We have had a very, very interesting year at Penn State in all kinds of ways. We maintain a website, accessibility.psu.edu. I now can spell that word correctly 100% of the times. And before that, I was always confused about the number of C's and S's and whether it should be A-B-I-L-I-T-Y, et cetera. This website I would recommend that you go to for lots and lots of details, and it's a living site. It's been a year since we reached an agreement with the National Federation for the Blind, and an agreement is just that. We said that we would commit to doing a handful of things, and I will talk about seven of those that I think are most relevant to all of you today. And I will tell you a little bit about what we've learned. And when I'm talking about what we've learned, write yourself into that script. This is something that lots of institutions should do. And you might as well learn from what we've done. That's not technically part of the presentation, but I like it. In fact, I haven't even built any sound into this presentation, but if it can be coordinated exactly as I'm about to go to the next slide, I think it'd be fantastic. Penn State. I need to say a little bit about Penn State. It's slightly possible, I suppose, that no one's ever heard of Penn State. I will point out that there have been 45,000 articles in the past 12 months written about Penn State, various aspects of life at Penn State, according to a speech given by Penn State's president, Rod Erickson, a couple of days ago. But here's who we are. We're a land-grant institution established in 1855. We have 24 campus locations and a large online program that we call the World Campus. 96,000 students, about 9,000 faculty, 28,000 staff. And I'll tell you why these statistics matter in a second. So just hang on to that. These are our numbers. There are all kinds of ways of slicing and dicing, and I've excluded part-time faculty and staff. Okay. But pretty soon, you're saying, this is a big place. It's a big place. And therefore, as you attempt to provide services that could affect us, faculty, staff, or students with disabilities at any of the locations, then you need to think of this not as a local issue, but as a university-wide issue. But this is simply our numbers. We do an awful lot of funded research. This is a staggering number. We awarded 21,000 degrees last year. And this is the one that is truly astonishing. We have 560,000 living alumni. There are about 170,000 in their alumni associations. One out of 720 Americans is a Penn State graduate, and one of 70 in Pennsylvania is a Penn State graduate. So anything that affects Penn State affects an awful lot of people, and that's why it's been such a fascinating year. Within this context, within this description of our geography, I have a campus map, but it doesn't really reflect the realities of having campuses spread throughout the Commonwealth. We have faculty, staff, and students who have disabilities of various kinds. Here are roughly our numbers. We have about 50 students with visual disabilities, and that's a continuum. We have about 50 students who are hearing disabled. We have about 2,000 students who have other kind of learning disabilities, and that number at our place, probably yours as well, has increased dramatically over the last 5 to 10 years. Okay. So the numbers are not small, but these are individual students, faculty, staff, and students who will need intentionally planned services if they're going to be full participants in our community. Penn State in 1863, that's the original Old Main. It was torn down in 1929 and 30 and rebuilt, but it still looks very much like it. The stone was quarried locally, and I wanted a current picture of Penn State, and this issue of Sports Illustrated just leaped out at me, and it's not actually a terrible article. Seven elements of our plan, and I think I'll just list all of these here. I don't quite remember why I put them in this order. Some of these are very, very easy, and we simply did. We replaced one kind of clicker with another. Okay, I won't dwell much on that. Accessibility audit of our websites is very interesting, ongoing, and it's a challenging one for us. If I were to ask you, how many websites do you have at your university? You know, there's no reason for you to know offhand. My question would be, who does know the answer to that? And I think the answer is nobody. It's nobody's job. I'll talk a little bit about what that means. Some policy changes. And policies are important, and compliance with policy is going to be even more important. I'll talk a little bit about that. Procurement, course management system actually turned out to be originally quite complicated and then became much easier because of changes in the industry. Classrooms. And I will talk at length about the single most important website at Penn State, in my opinion, which is the university libraries. And that has more and more important materials than most other sites by far. It's heavily used, and it's the central provider of resources there. And I will talk more about that. Accessibility audit of websites. Well, let's be honest. The web just happened. It's about 21 years old now. I remember when we put up our first main Penn State homepage, and it was 21 years ago. And then all the departments, colleges, campuses, individual faculty, they all got into the web business. And like most 20-year-olds on a campus, the websites kind of are variable. And some are really terrific and refreshed, and some have lots of stuff that are quite out of date, dead links, link rot, all kinds of things that don't make that an effective thing. But you know, it just happened, and websites don't get pruned. My sister was an associate dean in a medical school in another state, not at Penn State, I'll say that right away. And when the web got started within medical education, each unit, each department decided that it needed to have website, and she woke up one morning to see the new proposed website for the Department of Orthopedic Surgery. And this was in the age of animated GIFs, and they had a dancing skeleton on their home page. Now think about that. Those of you who might like to have a hip or a knee replaced, and you go to a very fine medical school for that, and they're so she could dictate that that had to be removed, okay? It kind of hurt their feelings. They liked it. They thought it was cute. It was not troublesome. Well, we have some websites that need pruning, and lots of them, because no one has been paying much attention to them. That's been an issue. We licensed software. We actually looked at a number of products and licensed a product called High Software. And it has been a good thing for us to help with. We created a group called Web Liaisons. Every business unit has an official representative to this group. That's our main means of communication. And so we needed to provide training and support and then say, have at it. And I'll talk more about our triage approach in a second. We created an Accessible Technology Information Committee. And so when you see ATI referenced later, this is the committee. And it's the single most important committee that is driving our success right now. It's not administrators like me, certainly. It's this committee, and I'll tell you a little bit about the kind of representation on it. So we did a scan, and we learned a lot by that because we got baseline information on what it would take for us to achieve compliance with one of the new policies. This is where the talk kind of coheres. We needed to get policies in place that said if it's an official university site used for university business, let's exclude personal web pages like mine. I don't do official university business on that. Then it needs to comply with a new policy that has all of the acronyms that people in the web world know about. Okay, so we needed to know what the magnitude of the effort was going to be. So we did that. Our agreement with NFB is a reasonable one. The agreement is that we need to have a plan for remediation, and we need to implement the plan. And we recognize that the web will never be finished at Penn State or anywhere else, but we needed to have goals for the next 3 years. And so it's within that framework, which frankly makes sense even if there were not an agreement. You need to have some goals and timelines. Otherwise, busy people just never get around to doing it. And the corrective action plan does have dates and names of people responsible. When I get to the lessons learned, I'll say that some people need to be nudged by folks like me, which is fine. It's a good role to have. Here's a picture of triage, and it's the most important graphic here. And when we get to the university library's website, there will be another version of this that is custom to them. But basically, how deep is the deepest website at your university in terms of levels? Is it 3? Is it 5? Is it 19? Certainly, there's a terrible issue with improperly designed web pages that you get lost. You don't know how to get back home. Okay. I don't know what the deepest level is, but we're not going down to level 12. We're looking at the first 3 levels, and we're doing the scan, and we're doing the remediation there. And that's a reasonable thing to do. Okay. If you had to say we had to fix absolutely everything down to the 12th detail, then I think you'd be so overwhelmed by it, you'd just give up. You wouldn't even try. So we are auditing all sites twice a year, select pages, do analytics on them, fix the problems, test them again. And as sure as night follows day, in 6 months, we will run this test again. Why? Because units are constantly adding new materials. And in the long run, people will become very skillful at pre-checking for accessibility. But right now, the old habits die hard. So this is our plan. That's the essence for the web accessibility. In March, we got a report from every unit's web liaison, and that was helpful. And we shared the plans in April, and we posted our plans for remediation on a public website. You can go to it. And in September, we asked for a progress update. And this group will continue to meet and review progress and continue to really help educate this whole community of people that we call web developers and webmasters. Policy changes. There are really two that I want to talk about. First one is Central. Central said that we need to have a new policy on web accessibility, 8069, and this stipulates that our web pages will conform with the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines, WCAG as they say, level AA. We distributed this information to the right technical people. There's no point in burdening deans or department heads with this. And then we offered a large number of workshops so that everyone could have a shared vocabulary around this. This is what we're talking about. This is official Penn State University policy. And if you don't have such a policy, you might want to look at ours. Faculty Senate was engaged from the beginning. And we did not have a required component of all syllabi that described what should be done if a student with any kind of a disability. This is not a blindness issue, any kind of a disability. And so we now have a more formalized procedure for University Park and for the 24 other campuses. And we're hoping that by distributing it to the students in syllabi, they will know right away what their responsibilities are. We hope that the faculty will know what their resources are available to help them. And we want this to occur early in the semester and not at mid-semester. I'm not going to say too much about policy changes because I just talked about those. I can say that the accessibility.psu website is sufficiently good that I know a number of very fine universities that say, can we just copy it? And I said, no, I don't think you want to do that. You could do it. I think it'd be better to point to it and adapt it and maybe localize it and say, yeah, you're doing it this way. And, you know, we'll give you, if there were documents, just do global search and replace and put in the name of your plus. This is for everyone. Everyone is going to have to do this, and you should be thinking about that as you go back to your campus. Procurement is an incredibly important, difficult, and complicated area. We have a very good central procurement office that reviews all kinds of proposed contracts. The difficulty is that no one thinks about this or thinks about procurement's role until they have a contract ready to be signed. And then they now need to ask questions about, is this accessible? Okay. And we are working with them so that all of the purchasing folks are aware of this and they will have a consistent kind of approach. I have to tell you that if you are just now beginning to think about accessibility when you have a contract ready to be signed, you've made a big mistake. That is not the way to do it. It will take us several years before units that are thinking about licensing all kinds of products, but let's think in particular about hardware and software. Is this accessible? We are working to provide support to purchasing, to evaluate vendors' claims made by the Voluntary Product Accessibility Templates, the VPATs, because not all vendors are absolutely scrupulous about reporting, oh yes, this is accessible, and then you pay money for it and you get it and it's not. We're working in a couple different ways with other groups to say, can we be sure that these have been vetted? Finally, it's the institution that has the exposure. It's not the vendor, alas. So we are also working with purchasing to develop some model language. We would have thought that someone else had developed absolutely perfect boilerplate language that could be put into contracts. We had heard a rumor that Cal State had. We looked. We didn't find anything that was quite real. Now, maybe that's changed, but we are working to develop kind of model language for that. Course management system. We were an early Angel adopter, and we were very happy with Angel. And then when they were bought by Blackboard in 2009, we decided to give it another look. And we put together a team to evaluate other course management systems. And we did pilots with all of the major systems available to that. But one thing was different. Because of the our awareness of the importance of accessibility, we had faculty, staff, and blind students engaged in every pilot of every product that we looked at. And so we have firsthand information on every course management system that any of you are likely to be running. There is nothing, there's no smarter way to do that than to build in accessibility from the get-go. I'm sure that the suspense is killing you. Blackboard then announced that they would fix the parts of Angel 8 that were not accessible, and they've worked in very good faith to do that. And so we will be with Angel for the next few years at least. The important thing there is that it was a planned decision. We will not be using in our enterprise a product that is not accessible or cannot be easily worked around so that you can make reasonable accommodation. And again, the big theme here is work with your vendors. Work with your vendors. They are the ones that need to fix this, and we need to tell them what doesn't work and work with them to be sure that it's done right. Here's the most complicated organizationally and most complicated technically project here, and it's the university's websites. Web accessibility has been a huge commitment with them for a long time. They have a content management system. DayQ, I believe, is the name. It's now owned by Adobe. Content management systems I highly endorse because it's easier to manage enterprise deployments if you have that kind of system rather than individual static web pages. So they have the most thorough plan of any of the units at Penn State, and they have rewritten their templates. They've made huge progress on it, and they have also gone even further to look at all of the assets that are part of the university libraries. We have librarians who have developed PowerPoints, Word documents, PDFs. I don't know what the number is. I'll say 3 million. It's not 3 million. It's a large number. And you have to look for the weak link here. And that finally a student or a faculty member or a staff member who has gotten, found something, and then it's the document that is inaccessible, then why bother? You know, at that point, they're simply frustrated. So this has been an enormous amount of education, training, and then redoing and fixing of lots and lots of documents. I would not underestimate the difficulties there. And they, again, are checking all of their resources every 6 months, as we want the other webmasters to do as well. They have a couple of different products that they use for testing. And if this looks a bit like the triage system that I talked about a little bit ago, that's because it is. But it's basically the same kind of process. You need to let everyone know that, that these web resources will be accessible and that everyone has a role to be sure that things are scanned, tested, fixed, and then assessed again. It is a major, major project. I have talked about the website ongoing accessibilities outside of the university libraries, but this is what they are doing internally. And they built a process so that they can, a staff member or a faculty member of the library who needs assistance from the Adaptive Technologies Group can get it. They can report an accessibility issue. They can request a resource in alternative format. This is enterprise thinking. And it's all kind of hidden because of the way that the libraries have implemented this. They have people dedicated to improving the library's resources, and they are doing an enormous amount of work. Various grants, screen readers, phase two. This is where things get interesting and very, very hard. All university libraries license materials provided by vendors. And these are going to be externally hosted databases. They're externally hosted in all kinds of ways. They have other kinds of documents. But as I just, the instance that I used from Penn State developed materials. If these materials are not accessible, then we have a real problem. The difficulty is to communicate the urgency to vendors to do the own do their own kind of triage on their resources. Vendors come in all shapes and sizes, and some are quite difficult to work with. Others are more accommodating. Everything that I'm saying about library vendors, I think we should be saying also about Microsoft. I think we should be saying about Adobe, although Adobe is making it easier to do the right thing. So I'm not picking on Microsoft or Adobe. Go right down the list with your major vendors and talk with them early and often about their accessibility strategy. If they don't have one, and if they can't give you the name of the group or the person who's leading the effort, then we have a problem, meaning you have a problem. We have a brand new library edition at Penn State. It's the Paternal Library, and we have renovated space on the ground floor for the Adaptive Technology and Services Lab. And this is the place at the University Park campus where students go who need huge monitors, who need specialized software, who really need custom PCs built for them. If you get to University Park, I would put it very high on the list of places to visit. It's absolutely first rate. You might think that this is a something brand new, that we hadn't been doing this before. These folks have been doing it for more than 20 years. Now they have much better space. But this is not a one-time effort. It's not something that we just discovered a year ago. We've been doing this for 20 years. And I think we have done a good job. We are also thinking about plans for future spaces. And again, we all of the future spaces need to be fully accessible in all dimensions of that term, physical and virtual. Implications. I gave a different version of this talk to the Association of Research Libraries in DC a month or so ago. And all of them have the same kind of issues that Penn State has. You are likely to have the same kind of issues that we have, but their concern was only libraries. Libraries are important, but again, what Penn State has done is to take a look at the whole enterprise to see how our parts and pieces that support teaching and learning and interaction, doing your job at Penn State, prior assumptions about what your physical abilities are. So. The libraries have an aggressive plan, but it's only for the libraries. We have to look at the other parts. Classrooms. I like smart classrooms, and I liked them a whole lot better until I realized how dumb they were. It's dumb if a student or faculty member who is blind can't use it or can't use it without assistance. We clearly designed these for the 99.99% of faculty and students who have sight. So if you use products like Crestron, which lots of people do, then you need to be looking at and asking serious questions about how accessible is this as a platform. I'm not saying anything bad. It's a great company, and we use lots of their products. But I think you need to be cautious about how you design classrooms, and it took us a year of work to find workarounds that were in place, really to redesign how our podiums work. And the way that we could be sure that they could work successfully is we ask a blind staff member to assume the role of a faculty member. And if she can do it, then I'm going to say, yep, that'll work. Clearly, we couldn't retrofit 350 technology classrooms in one summer. We did 55, and we can, by reassigning a faculty member to one of those 55, we can make an accommodation. The goal will be 100%, but again, time and money are factors for us as they are for anyone else as well. Braille identification is being added to the touch panel functions button. Excellent idea. And we have actually made programming changes. I don't know whether we did it or whether we got the company to do it, but so that a user can bypass the touchscreen login using voice control. In 5 years, we will have better systems than this, but this is what we were able to do before the start of classes in the fall. Clickers, we had an inaccessible clicker, and we replaced that a year ago, and that was simply a smart thing to do. It's a better product, and we've been very happy with that. I'm not going to say too much more about that. Lessons learned. You cannot develop and implement a university-wide plan without executive sponsorship. This has the very strong personal support of the CIO, the dean of the university libraries, the vice president for educational equity. This is the same group that has been supporting our efforts with blind students for 20 years, but we kind of re-upped on that commitment. You need to have executive sponsorship. Having the right policies is really important, and then figuring out how to implement the policies is crucial. Executives are not going to fix anything. Sometimes they will make things worse, but we have an extremely good assistive technology committee, and it has all of the units that need to be involved in very close collegial relationships. The Office of Disability Services, Central IT, the libraries, procurement, webmasters, and they have a very clear sense of what their mission is, what their charge is, and what their deliverables are. You cannot do this with one unit alone, okay? The experience, let's look at it only from the student or faculty member point of view. Just to fix one of these leaves the individual at risk. You need to do an enterprise-wide approach if this is going to be successful. Be practical. Triage is required. You cannot fix everything. You cannot fix everything at once. You don't have to fix everything at once, but you need to have a plan. And I think this was sobering for people, but I think having done this for a year, they are now understanding sort of the rhythm on this. Technology helps, but will not solve all of the challenges of websites. Surely you don't want any of these scanning engines to actually go through and make changes, do you? Good Lord, it's like trusting spell check. Would I send off an article that I'd run spell check on and just take whatever changes it threw up? I hope not. We use a variety of scanning tools, and all of them need to be improved, and we're working with vendors to help improve that. But it doesn't solve your problems right out of the box. I wish I could report to you that this will really clean everything up. It doesn't. And I have used the phrases that I used to use at Christmas time, some assembly required, it always terrified me. And also, if you've bought a new car recently, your mileage may vary. Better products will become developed, more skillful webmasters will use them more skillfully. In the long run, we will not have the rework that we have right now, but technology is not going to always be easy. Faculty education is hard. I didn't say it was impossible, but folks have learned to teach with technology for many years now, and they have kind of developed habits in terms of how they use PowerPoint or Word, and we are putting a lot of effort into helping them become aware of how to make the documents that they wish to post in a course management system accessible. We're doing this also with video and closed captioning. It's a multifaceted effort that will go on for a very long time. I'm hoping that products will get better, and that's one of my takeaways as well. Work with your vendors. Faculty have, by and large, been cooperative when they understand what this is about, and webmasters have, by and large, been quite cooperative when they understand what's involved. Occasionally, there will be a little bit of resistance, but that can be dealt with as well. User testing. I just cannot stress that too highly. And it's very helpful to have sight-disabled people on your team using screen readers like JAWS or other products. I would think that user testing is going to have to be built into everything that EDUCAUSE sponsors from here on out. I look with interest on their e-textbooks pilots. And Course Load now has an accessibility plan, but they didn't have one when they started out. That was unwise. And I think that if you don't think about accessibility for every kind of project that you're working on, it's a mistake. So I would try to build in explicit awareness of accessibility and also build in testing. And you will save yourselves a lot of grief on that. I don't think it hurts at all to be public about your goals and activities. Our website is a living document, and I think it helps to keep everyone honest to say what we're doing and why we're doing it and how well we're doing. I think those are my major lessons learned. I didn't put on the bullet there about working with the vendors because I highlighted that before, but I really think we need to collectively hold their feet to the fire. They can and should do better than they've done in the past, and they won't do it unless we put pressure on them. The way ahead, and you can track our progress here. And that is my last slide. I wanted to leave time for questions. And I think the protocol is if you come to the mic, then we're recording this, then we can capture the question.
Yeah, thank you for presenting your experiences, you know, of managing this huge, huge, challenging project during the past 1 year. The question, I have many questions for you, but I'll ask one question. How have you been convincing people that 50 or so blind students, and I do not know how many blind faculty members mm-hmm. you have on your campus, it's worth doing it, particularly when a large number of accessibility issues are related to blindness when it comes to library accessibility, classroom podium accessibility, and CMS accessibility is concerned?
In a very quick answer, I'll answer in two flavors. One is federal law requires it in the United States. And the Office of Civil Rights is responsible for making sure that this is part of the educational opportunity available to, and then there's that's particularly for students. Second thing is it's absolutely the right thing to do. And one of the things, one of the ways that we found very, very helpful in terms of working with faculty groups is to ask a blind colleague to come to a meeting and look at some Penn State websites or your university's websites through a screen reader. And after about 15 minutes, people understand what the issues are, why these websites have to be improved, because they're not just usable. So federal law is a very powerful motivator.
Not on my campus. I'm sorry. I'm a blind faculty.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry to hear that. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hi. I'm Greg Krause from North Carolina State University. And you talked about the procurement language and kind of implementation of that process that you're
yes.
kind of working on it. We deal with the same issues.
Yep, absolutely.
Are there any details that you can go into about what you have been able to accomplish and what has worked in those areas?
I would say it is a work in progress. It is a partnership between procurement and the committee that I've been referring to. There's a lot of education that has to go on. But I can tell you, within the last week, there have been two conversations that I've been a participant in that would not have happened 2 years ago. So everyone is aware that it's really important. One is with a current vendor who has not made the changes that frankly, they need to, but particularly for new products. What we're trying to do, we're doing a strategic plan for IT right now. My hunch is that there will be recommendations in terms of the purchasing cycle and to be sure that purchasing should not be the police force for this. It's a terrible mistake if people think about accessibility only at the last moment. They need to be educated to do this much earlier. So it's going to have a change in the culture. Changing procurement itself won't do it. Yes.
To what extent are you using captioning and transcription services CampusWatch?
The question is, to what extent is Penn State using a captioning service university-wide? I don't believe that we have a university-wide approach to it. Certainly for our online courses that are 100% online, units are experimenting with various vendors and products. We know how to do it. It's kind of a dollar issue, but we have not licensed centrally any particular company on that. Yes?
Just a follow-up, do you have a captioning policy on what, anything of guidance to students on campus on what should be captioned immediately?
Christian, do you want to go to the mic and then we'll capture? Christian Benton Johansson is my longtime colleague at Penn State, and he's very active in this space.
Let's see.
The question is, do we have a policy on captioning and how it's to be used, when it must be used?
The current captioning policy is only with regard to videos that have some marketing content. So that is a very vague notion. It's kind of hard to imagine a video that is produced at Penn State that doesn't have some marketing content involved in that. So we do have a policy in place. That policy was put in place about 6 months ago.
This is probably an area that needs to be refined. Yes.
Could you say a little bit more about your web system in that I'm taking it that you're built on many different platforms in many
yes.
different places
yeah.
versus
yeah.
having an element or a content management system that would help with this
There are four or five units at Penn State that have adopted four or five different content management systems. But the vast majority of Penn State websites, departments, have been built in an older way, older mentality, Dreamweaver, that kind of tool, so that they're not taking advantage of a content management system. So their job is harder. Yeah. Hey, Doug.
Hey, John. So. It seems like the activities that are associated with this are sort of scattered across the institution.
They have to, yeah, because this has so many different tentacles. We need to have people with expertise. The folks who have expertise in classrooms would not be the people with expertise in library systems. So.
Right. So my question was related to budgeting. Is there a central pool for this, or is everyone sort of just, it's another thing they have to do out of their existing budgets, or... Thank you.
We have centrally paid for the scanning software. We are adding a couple of additional staff this year who will be centrally paid for. But so far, each unit is bearing their own costs. All of the training, there's no charge to the unit. People have to come. But it's not a centrally funded operation at all. And that's the way that Penn State does IT, all of IT. Yes?
I think this is sort of an awareness question, because at least at my institution, much of the purchasing turns out for cloud services is at the low end, and you can buy it with a P card, and it never goes to the central purchasing office at all.
That is a terrible problem for us.
Okay.
It is a terrible problem for us. We're going to be okay on enterprise systems, but people have used departmental money, they've used grant money, they've rushed out, they've got something, and then they say, oops. And that's hard for us.
Well, sometimes it's the case where it doesn't cost the institution anything at all. It costs the student using the product.
Yeah. No, it is not ideal, but it's where we are. Are there any online questions coming in? Okay, thanks.
About web liaisons, you mentioned that's a structure that you have set up.
Yes.
Is that centrally supported there, or is it departments decide who's going to be a web liaison?
This is part of the glory of Penn State. Each unit. We have departments, colleges, campus, business units, but we can't communicate directly with all people who have any role in the web operation. So we've asked the budget heads to designate someone as the web liaison, and it's with that person that we communicate. There's no funding involved. This is simply a requirement from the provost that you must designate someone.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm wondering if the awareness of this issue is trickling down to the point where your faculty members are adjusting their curriculums to make sure that when they're training new software developers, hardware developers, and webmasters, that this component of accessibility and the considerations of accessibility are being included in that coursework so that the people that we're training actually will be considering this as they go out into their careers.
I would like to say yes is the answer. I really can't. I think we're just getting started on this right now. Realistically, we have faculty who've been, I've been at Penn State for 30 years, I've learned certain kind of things. This is going to be a matter of unlearning to some extent. And this does not affect all aspects of what a teacher does, but certainly for the online components, they need to be intentional and thoughtful about it. But there is no capacity that we have, say, to inspect individual documents. This has been an effort that relies on persuasion and goodwill rather than a kind of police-like enforcement. We're a long ways away from having the sophistication and awareness to do that. I'm hoping that the tools will make things much better. My dream would be for Office 2013 that it would have some buttons that you find in some of the Adobe product that says check for accessibilities. This should be built in. It's not.
Thank you.
Yes.
One last question.
Yes. Thank you.
State agencies who have websites have to comply with the same law.
Yep.
Are there not state tools available that can be used by state agencies, universities, to do the checking to help save part of that cost?
It's a good thought. I'm not aware of anything in Pennsylvania. Is anyone here aware of a kind of statewide approach? This is K-12. It's community colleges. It's all state agencies. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a very good point. I'm not aware of any state that has tried to lighten the financial burden. Christian, are you aware of anything? Okay, and maybe California, but...
State of Texas let a contract 2 years ago, and they have a tool that they consider the tool.
Okay.
And if you comply with that, they'll help you out if you make a mistake.
Okay, so that is a kind of carrot. I really like carrots.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I think that's all.
All right.